Morning and go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 1. I want to go back there again this morning with you and look at this prayer again of Nehemiah. Here in our text, if you'll remember, it's kind of a little bit of a review in case you weren't here last Sunday, but Nehemiah here in our text, the man Nehemiah, if you remember, he's a Jew, but he's a slave in the king's palace. He's a slave to the king. And Nehemiah is just heartbroken as this text opens up, because his beloved city, their Jerusalem, had been devastated. It was sacked, destroyed, burned with fire. Jerusalem was to be a light. It was to be a testimony to God in the whole world. Well, instead of being a light and a testimony, it was a reproach. I mean, it had been sacked and destroyed by the Babylonians, and it had been burned with fire. And there was a remnant of Jews that had gone back over here to Jerusalem to restore it. But things weren't going well. So Nehemiah gets the word here that things aren't going well. And you remember last week, he just kind of sat down and wept. He cried. But then Nehemiah made the best decision he could have ever made. He decided to get proactive, and he said, I'm going to go to my God in prayer. Look at verse number 4. It says, and it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept. Man, I just cried like a baby. He said, and mourned certain days and fasted, but notice, and prayed before the God of heaven. Then basically what you've got is verses 5 through 11 records Nehemiah's prayer for us. Last week, we learned three things that we always have to remember and keep in the forefront of our mind whenever we go to the Lord in prayer. Remember, we said whenever we make a move to go to God in prayer, we have to remember, number one, God is faithful. God is not going to strip away from us who we are in Christ. God is not going to strip His love away from us. We are accepted in Christ. We're secure in Christ. We're secure in His love. God is faithful. We said, number two, we said God is attentive. Aren't you glad to know when you pray that God's listening? Amen? And He is, because the Bible promises that Christ is our mediator. We have access to God through Him. For God to turn His eyes and ears away from us, He'd have to turn His eyes and ears away from Jesus Christ, because we've been made one with Christ. God is attentive. Number three, God is forgiving. He's forgiving. What if I were to ask you two questions, though, this morning? Number one, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you believe in the power of prayer? What if I were to ask the second question? How much did you pray last week? The first one was amen. The second one was oh me. Right? The first question is, do you believe in the power of prayer? Amen. How much did you pray last week? Oh me. See, if that question's a little bit convicting, well, it should be. I wonder if we were to answer those two questions honestly. Do you believe in the power of prayer? How much did you pray last week? I wonder if there'd be a discrepancy in the answers to those two questions. This morning, what I want to do is I want to look at Nehemiah's prayer. And Nehemiah was a servant of God. Man, this guy just had a heart for God. And God used him mightily to turn things around back there in Jerusalem. But it all started with prayer. It all started with prayer right here. Chapter 1, prayer. Now, it's important to understand, and you heard me last week, we talked a lot about this. Nehemiah was not a church-age saint. He wasn't part of the body of Christ as we are. Nehemiah was an Old Testament Jew. And so he's praying under the Old Testament law economy. You got to understand that's all that was revealed up to that time. All he had revealed to him by God at that time was the law of Moses. So that's all he knew, that's all that was revealed, and that's what he's praying in accordance with, is the law of Moses. Well, you know, we got to understand that and we got to keep that in mind. But there are some things in this prayer, some wonderful lessons that we can apply to our prayer lives. The bottom line is this. Nehemiah was an effective prayer warrior. I mean, this guy, we see Nehemiah, you know, God answering his prayers. This guy had an effective prayer life. Now, what I want to do is I want to take several principles from his prayer life and apply them to us today. Now, we're not going to, you know, you're not supposed to repeat this prayer, and there's things in this prayer that are according to the Old Testament law that we would not pray, but there are some wonderful principles here that we can apply to our prayer life. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. And I want to challenge us a little bit in our prayer life. Number one, if you want an effective prayer life, number one, we must pray earnestly. We must pray earnestly. I want you to notice verse 6 with me. And here Nehemiah is praying. And he says, "Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant." Now notice this. This is what I want you to note. "Which I pray before thee now." And notice what he says here. What's the next three words? Day and night. What does that tell us? That tells me right there, Nehemiah was not flippant about his prayer request. This wasn't a casual sort of thing. I mean, this wasn't, you know, "Hey God, Jerusalem's a mess. I sure wish you'd do something about it." Wasn't that kind of thing. And then go on with life. That's how we pray a lot of times. "Lord, I'd like for you to do something about this." Then we go on with life. No, he was earnest about this. He was seeking God day and night over this. He was serious about it, folks. He earnestly sought the Lord. He was bombarding the throne of God with this issue day and night. Did you know this is applicable to our prayer lives today? Because just as Nehemiah was earnest, do you think that we're to be earnest in our prayer lives today? Did you know the Apostle Paul taught us, the church, that we're to be earnest in our prayer lives? Look with me in your handout. I'll show you a great verse, Ephesians 6:18. It says, notice the very first two words. What is it? That's pretty huge, isn't it? Praying always. Now, think about that. Praying always. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm, you know, down on my knees and that I'm like this, in this posture 24/7. Because you can't. You can't do that. I mean, we've got jobs we've got to go to. We've got kids we're running around. We've got responsibilities that we're fulfilling. We've got places to go, things to do, people to see. I understand that. We're busy people, and I understand. But when he says praying always, he doesn't mean down like this, in a posture like this. No, when he says pray, did you know you can pray anywhere, anytime, at any place? Did you know that? Did you know you can pray anywhere, anytime? Did you know you can pray in your car? Now I would encourage you to watch and pray when you do that. But you can do that. You can pray in your car. Listen, you can pray in your car. You can pray at work. You can pray on your way to work. You can pray on your way home from work. You can pray at home. You can pray. You can pray when you're doing the dishes. Guys. Thought I'd throw that in, ladies. You can pray when you're mowing the grass. Man, I'm out there mowing my... I love to pray when I mow my grass. You ever do that? I love to pray. And I love to just, you know, I'm just moving my mouth and I'm talking to the Lord in prayer. And the noise is so loud, nobody can hear you. And so you're just, you know, I'm talking. The neighbors think, that poor preacher has gone over the edge. He's out there in the front yard talking to himself, you know. And I'm just praying as I mow. You can pray always. Now look at the verse. Praying always, notice, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto. That word watching means to be sleepless, to keep awake. In other words, there's some things in your heart you're so burdened about that maybe you can't sleep, and so you just spend some time in prayer. Maybe you wake up in the morning at 3 in the morning and boy, it just comes into your mind and it's such a burden of your heart. And so at 3 in the morning, there you are praying. You know, that's what that word watching means. Look what it says. Watching thereunto. And then he uses a great word, with all perseverance. Now that word perseverance means persistence. In other words, we are to be persistent in our prayer life. Would your prayer life be characterized by persistency? I mean, you just persistently are bombarding God's throne of grace. You are persistently in the presence of God, laying your petitions before Him. The Apostle Paul taught that we are to labor fervently in our prayer life. Now think about that. Labor fervently. I want to show you a verse. Look at Colossians 4:12. He says, "Epaphras, which is one of you," this is one of the guys here, okay? One of the members of the church at Colossae, "a servant of Christ, saluteth you." But notice what he notes about this guy. There's something that really stuck out about Epaphras. always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Do you know that when he says he labored fervently, did you know that phrase means to struggle? It means to compete for a prize. I mean, this guy was earnest about his prayer life, and Paul knew it. He knew it. Do you know Paul is exemplary in this area to us? The Apostle Paul is such an example to us. Look at this verse. I'm going to throw a few verses up real quickly. Look at the screen. What are the first three words? Night and day. He tells this church, I am night and day, I'm praying exceedingly that I can see your face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Look at the next one. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1:3. He tells Timothy, now think about this. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers. What's the last three words? Just like Nehemiah. Just like Nehemiah. Look at the next one. Notice this. And by the way, if you're a widow, if some of you in here, you're widowed, you've lost your spouse maybe years ago, what a great life verse this is if you're a widow. 1 Timothy 5:5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers, what? Night and day. Listen, if we got us a group of 20 widows in this church who, man, had a prayer ministry, they are night and day praying for Crossroads, praying for me, praying for the other pastors, praying for the leadership of this church, praying for the people, praying for our outreach. Listen, if we had 20 widows who were doing that, I mean trusting God, praying night and day, do you think it'd make a difference in walk through Bethlehem? I believe it would. I know it would. What a great verse for widows. Praying night and day. We're to be earnest. What are you earnest about? Are you earnest about your job? What is it? Tell me, what fires you up? What are you passionate about? What are you fired up and fervent about? Are you earnest about your job? Are you earnest about making money? Are you earnest about moving up the ladder at work? Are you earnest about a particular hobby? Are you earnest about sports? Are you earnest about shopping? What are you earnest about? You know, I want to submit to you this morning, if there's anything a Christian ought to be earnest about, it ought to be his prayer life. Amen. And you just need to get serious about it. If we want to have an effective prayer life, we've got to get serious about it. And we've got to be earnest. Number two is, if we're going to have an effective prayer life, we have to pray honestly. Honestly. I love the honesty of Nehemiah. Look at verse 7. He's talking to God. He's just talking to the Lord. And look what he says in verse 7. He says, God, we've dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Listen, Nehemiah goes to the Lord in prayer, and he's not extolling his goodness. He's not going before God extolling his virtue and the goodness of his people Israel. And, you know, he sometimes, think about this, he didn't go to God with the attitude, God, you owe it to me to answer my prayer. You owe it to me. I mean, after all, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm not as bad as a lot of other people. Sometimes we can go to God with kind of a little bit of an arrogant spirit. And he didn't do that. He went to God humbly. He said, God, he's just brutally honest with God. He says, God, okay, we have dealt corruptly with you. We've not kept the commandments, and we have repeatedly broken the covenant of the law of Moses that you made with us and that we made with you. We've repeatedly broken it. He just is brutally honest with God. In your handout, it says, when you talk to God, you can lay open your heart before Him. In fact, you should. Did you know when you pray, you don't have to be eloquent? Did you know you don't have to use flowery speech? Did you know God doesn't give a hoot about that? He doesn't care how eloquent you are. He doesn't care how, you know, wonderfully you've put the words together. God couldn't care less about that. You know what God wants? God just wants you to lay open your heart before Him and be real. Be honest. before God. God is looking for... God is looking... Here, now, understand this. God is simply looking for there to be a congruence between your mouth and your heart. There's a great verse in Romans 10:1. It's in your handout. It's at the bottom of your handout there. It says, and I want you to underline two words. Will you do that for me? Underline the word or circle the word hearts, and then circle the word prayer. And then I want you to notice this, okay? Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, my people, is that they might be saved. Did you notice that Paul's prayer was an expression of his what? Oh, come on now. Get with me. Paul's prayer to God was a true expression of his heart. You know, what if I saw Brother Rob here, our youth director, and I kind of saw him off a little bit ways at church, and what if I thought in my heart, man, that is the ugliest tie I have ever seen in my life. I can't believe he wore that. And I'm thinking in my heart, that's an ugly tie, that's nasty. Man, that doesn't even match his outfit. Then later on, you know how it is at church, and you round the corner. Oh, hey, Brother Rob, how you doing, man? And it kind of catches me off guard. Of course, I know what I've been thinking in my heart, but I say, wow, I love that tie. Wow, that is, man, that's really different. I like that. I've never seen one like that before. Man, that really looks nice with that outfit, too. I like that. What's the problem there? The words of my mouth and my heart contradict. Reckon we ever do that with God? Everybody's like, well. Nobody wants to answer, you know. You think we'd ever do that with God? You think we'd ever think one way in our heart and then say something different to God? Did you know that when the words of our mouth and our prayer contradict our heart, did you know there's a word for that? It's called hypocrisy. That's called going before God with a hypocritical spirit. Hey, think about this. Remember the story Jesus told in Luke 18, publican and the Pharisee? The publican was the tax collector. He was off-scouring. They were considered sinners, just wicked, not even fit to be in the presence of God. And then there was this Pharisee, this religious leader. And the two, the Bible says, went to the temple to pray. Jesus said that the Pharisee went before God, and he wasn't honest. He was extolling his virtue. He's like, God, I thank you I'm not as that publican. Thank you that I'm not an adulterer and an extortioner like him. I fast, I tithe, and I do all this stuff. And the publican, the Bible says, was afar off, and he would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, and he smote his breast, and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, this man went to his house justified. That man did not. Why? Because God, listen to me, God saw the hypocrisy of the Pharisee's prayer. But you know what? God saw the humility, the genuineness of that publican's prayer. And he went to his house justified. The publican was just honest with God. God just wants you to be honest with him. Here's a verse in 2 Corinthians 8:21. I'll bring it up on the screen. Providing for what kind of things? Honest things. But look what it says. Not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. I'm to provide for honest things in the sight of the Lord. That would include my prayer life. So that means when I pray, I just need to get honest with God. I just need to tell God the truth. Just, God, I'm struggling. It's okay to say that. But does he know it anyway? You might as well get honest. He knows. God, I'm struggling. God, I'm down. I'm discouraged. God, I need help. God, I'm hurt. God, I'm confused. God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't have a clue. You know how many times I've gone to the Lord and just said, Lord, I don't have a clue. I've done that a lot. God, I don't have a clue what to do. Not a clue. Just tell God the truth. Aren't you glad to know you can be honest with God? Amen. You don't have to be a fake. You don't have to try to pretend to be something you're not. Just go to God and be honest. Be honest. So be earnest, be honest. But number three, we need to pray intelligently. We need to pray intelligently. You say, what do you mean? Well, look at verse 8. And I want you to notice how Nehemiah basically is just praying God's word back to God. Look at verse 8. Remember, I beseech thee, tells God. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn to me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there, which was Jerusalem. You know what Nehemiah is doing, church? He's reminding God of his promises to the nation of Israel back in Deuteronomy 28 and 30. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and chapter 30, God lists all the blessings that He's going to give Israel if they obey His covenant. Then He lists all the curses that He's going to bring upon them if they disobey His covenant. Nehemiah takes the Word of God, which all he had at that time was the Law of Moses. So he goes, he takes the Law of Moses, he takes that book of the Law, and he stands on the Word. He says, God, remember what you said here in Deuteronomy? Remember, you promised that if we turn to you, if we would repent, that you'd have mercy on us and that you'd bless us once again and that you would bring us and set us up for your glory there in Jerusalem. So Nehemiah is praying intelligibly for the time period he lived in. He knew what God's word was to Israel as written and detailed in the Law of Moses. He understood God's word and he understood God's promises for Israel under the Old Testament law economy. He was familiar with God's word. Therefore, he could pray intelligently. Now, question. Would a believer today in the dispensation of grace, in the body of Christ, we're not under the law, we're under grace, would a believer today in the body of Christ pray this exact prayer in verses 8 and 9? Yes or no? Of course not. Why? Well, because we're not Israel. The church is not Israel, and we're not under the Old Testament law program. So we wouldn't pray that prayer, but hey, guess what? There's some great application here. Just as Nehemiah knew God's word to him and his people at that time, we must know God's word and God's promises to us today. Because it's pleasing to the Lord when we stand on His word in prayer. God likes it when we take His word and remind Him of what He wrote. God likes it. That's faith. That's believing. God likes it when we take His word and we open it up and we say, God, this is what You said. This is the promise You gave me. And God, I just want to remind You of it and I want to let You know that I'm standing on that promise. Oh man, that's pleasing to God. But you know what? You got to do it in an intelligent fashion. Understanding God's program for today. For instance, if we get word that an earthquake has struck in the ocean and there is a tsunami that's going to flood Daytona in 24 hours, am I going to go down to the beach and start building an ark and praying for the Lord to deliver me that way? No. Was that God's program at one time? Is that God's program today? No. You know what our prayer is going to be? Lord, help my car to work until I can hightail it out of town. That's my prayer. I don't know about you. My prayer is, Lord, help this car to function till it can get me out of here. You see, you can stand on God's word and God's promise and say, I'm going to build this ark and I'm going to believe that You're going to deliver me, God. You can do that till you're blue in the face. But that's not what God's doing today. So you got to rightly divide the Bible and know where you stand. For instance, if I need to cross the Halifax River down here and I need to get over to Beachside, I'm not going to go down to the Halifax River, grab me a stick and wave it and pray that the Lord will part the water so I can walk over on dry ground. Why? That's not what God's doing today. Was God doing that at one time? Yeah. Is that God's program for us today? No, we're going to get in our car and go over the bridge. Amen? If I'm hungry, I don't say, God, I am trusting your promises. I'm looking at it in black and white, and I'm praying, and I'm believing. I'm hungry, and I believe you, God, that you're going to rain down manna on my front yard. Was God doing that at one time? Is he doing that today? No. If I'm hungry, I'm going to get in the car, go over to Publix, get me some food, bring it back, and cook it. Well, Denise will cook it. You see, now, here's the thing. Just as Moses was Nehemiah's spokesman for his day, and he stood on that word that God gave him through Moses, well, guess what, church? God has a spokesman in every age. When God created the heavens and the earth, Adam was his spokesman. When the time came for the flood, Noah was his spokesman. Then Moses was God's spokesman to his people. Then you move forward, you fast forward, Moses is the spokesman all the way until you come into the New Testament. John the Baptist was the spokesman, see, to Israel. Then Jesus and the 12 were the spokesman to his people Israel. Now, when you fast forward to the church age, to the body of Christ today, which is mainly composed of Gentiles from all nations, who is our spokesman? Does God have something in this word written directly to me, a spokesman that's just for me today? Look with me in your handout at Romans 11:13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now, you know what? If I want to know who my spokesman is, I need to know who wrote that. Because he said, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles, which I am, and he said, that's my office. Now, who wrote that? Paul. Look at the next verse. Paul wrote, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Look up on the screen, and I'll show you another one here in Philippians. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Philippians 3:17. Let's go to Philippians 4, and let's bring that up. He said, these things which ye have both, now notice, learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Look at the next one. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the what? Commandments of the Lord. Who would you say is our spokesman for the church, the body of Christ? The Apostle Paul. So you know what I'd do if I were you? I'd write that in my notes, first of all. that Paul is our spokesman. And you know what I would do? Look down in your handout. A believer today should make a thorough study of Paul's 13 epistles, 13 letters, and understand the commandments and promises that God has given to us through Paul. Can you write this in your handout? It's not there, but I want you to write it in. Romans, write in the book of Romans, and then put slash, and then write this book. Little weird, Philemon. P-H-I-L-E-M-O-N. Philemon. P-H-I-L-E-M-O-N. Now, in between Romans and Philemon, those are the 13 books Paul wrote to the church, the body of Christ. You know what I would do? I would do a thorough study of the promises that God gave to us through Paul. Like Nehemiah, it pleases God when we pray with an intelligent understanding of His Word. Not approaching the Bible haphazardly, praying for manna to rain on my front yard, or praying God will deliver me from a flood through an ark, or praying that God's going to part the Halifax River, and on and on and on. I could go with illustrations. We've got to pray intelligently, understanding the promises of God to the church, the body of Christ, given to us through our spokesman, the Apostle Paul. So I would take those 13 books, and I would learn those books. I would know them like the back of my hand. You say, well, I don't know where to start studying my Bible. Well, start right there in the book of Romans and start working your way through those 13 books. And when you're done, do it again. And when you're done, do it again. And when you're done, do it again. And you get very, very familiar with those 13 books because those are written directly to you. That all the Bible's profitable. We can learn from every portion of Scripture like we're doing this morning with Nehemiah's prayer. But that is your direct mail. That was the mail God sent directly to you through your spokesman, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles, the one who wrote directly to the body of Christ for today, the dispensation of grace. You need to do a thorough study of those books and be familiar so that you can pray intelligently. Number four, last thing, pray specifically. When you pray, pray specifically. Look with me at verse 10 and we'll finish up this message. And let's look at the last two verses of Nehemiah's prayer. Verse 10. Nehemiah is still talking to God. He says, "Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee." Now here we go. Here's the request. "Let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day." Now here it is. "And grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." You know what Nehemiah did? This is so cool. He goes to the Lord with a very specific request. He says, "God, here I am a slave in the king's palace. What I'm asking you, God, let me find mercy in the sight of this man, the king, so that he'll let me go back to Jerusalem and head up a restoration project there in Jerusalem to restore the glory of that city, to bring glory to your name. Let me find mercy specifically, God." It wasn't just, "God, Jerusalem's a wreck. I pray you'll do something about it." He was specific. "God, I want you to allow me to find mercy in the sight of him so I can go back and help head up a restoration project." You know what you find when you read chapter 2? We don't have time. If you go on to read chapter 2, you know what you find out? God not only answered Nehemiah's prayer by allowing him to find mercy in the sight of the king, the king not only let him go back to Jerusalem, the king gave him an escort for safety and foot the bill. Boy, we serve a great God, amen. Gave him a police escort, and the king foot the bill for the whole thing. What about today? Can we take our specific request to the Lord in prayer? Does God want us to pray about the details of our life? Yes or no? Yes. Look in your handout. Paul writes to the church, Philippians 4:6, "Be careful," that means be anxious for nothing, "but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your," what, church? "Request be made," say it with me, "known unto God." Can I pray about the details of my life? Does God want me to lay out my request to Him? Yes, He does. The Apostle Paul, listen, look at this verse, Philemon 22. Paul is in prison for preaching the gospel. And you know what he says to Philemon when he writes him this letter? This is the last one. I told you Romans through Philemon. Well, this is a little book, one chapter, and he writes it to this man named Philemon. Look what he says. "But withal, prepare me also a lodging." Hey, get me a room ready. He says, "Philemon, I'm in prison right now, but you better get me a room ready." Why? "For I trust that through your," what?
Prayers,
"I shall be given unto you." Paul was released for a time. He had a first imprisonment, then he was released in direct answer to prayer. Paul was released for a time being. Paul was confident that through his prayers, see, he prayed specifically, "I want you to pray that I'll be released from prison." Then, some of Paul's prayer requests are recorded in Scripture. Look at the screen, Colossians 4:3. He said, "With all praying also for us," he asked this church, he said, "pray for us." What do you want them to pray about? "Well, just pray for us that everything will go good." Is that what he said? No. He said, that's how we pray. We pray these generalized prayers. "Lord, bless this food. Bless me today. Amen." And that's our prayer for the day. I prayed my prayer. You know, "Lord, bless me. Bless my wife. Bless my children. Bless my Aunt Hazel. And bless my mom. Amen." You know what? God wants you to be a little bit more specific. He said, "With all praying also for us, that God," look at this, "that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Did Paul ask them to pray specifically? Yes. Look at the next one. He said in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." Okay, Paul, what do you want us to pray about? "That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." And I could go on and on and on. Paul's prayer requests were not vague. They were very specific. In fact, if you want to do an interesting study sometime, study out the Apostle Paul's recorded prayers. For instance, an example of some of his prayers would be Philippians 1. One of his prayers is recorded. Just like Nehemiah's prayer is recorded, Paul's prayer is recorded. Colossians 1 lists one of Paul's. Ephesians 1, one of Paul's prayers. Do a study sometime of Paul's prayers. Fascinating. He prayed specifically. In your handout, it says, based on your redeemed position in Christ, you can go to God and talk to Him about every detail of your life. You know what I found out? When my boys come to me to talk about Christmas presents, I found out they're not vague, they're very specific. And you know what? God wants you to be that way when you come to Him. Folks, listen, we've got to get over the phobia, all the phobias we have about prayer. You got to get over the fact that you think, well, God, you know, I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing and God's going to zap me, or God's going to laugh at me, or God's going to think I'm stupid, or, you know, I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing. Listen, you got to get over that. You got to understand, prayer is just talking to God. It's just talking to the Lord. And you can talk to God about anything, anywhere, at any time. You can talk to the Lord while you're driving, when you're coming home from work. Lord, when I get home, Lord, I pray I'll be a Spirit-filled daddy for my boys. Lord, I pray, God, that You'll love my wife through me when I go home. Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I'm exhausted. And Lord, I don't feel like giving when I get home. So Lord, fill me with Your Spirit that I'll give sacrificially to my wife and my children when I get home. See, you pray specifically. See? You pray specifically when you're at work. Listen, you can be in a meeting at work with six people and be praying. They don't know you're praying, but you're praying from your heart. Aren't you glad you don't have to speak audibly for God to know what's in your heart? Amen. You can just talk to the Lord from your heart, and you're at work and you're in a business meeting and you got six people in there and things are getting all stressful and people are getting all keyed up, and you can just be praying, Lord, get me through this alive. You know, Lord, listen, Lord, you're in that meeting and you're praying the whole time. Lord, when it's my turn to talk, Lord, I pray I'll say what You want me to say. Lord, I pray I'll say the words that'll please You. See, you can pray all the time and you can pray specifically for exactly what you need God to do. Let your request be made known unto God. And get over the phobia of thinking, I'm going to pray the wrong thing, I'm going to pray this or that. And just pray. Just talk to the Lord and let your request be made known unto Him. You are God's child and God wants you to talk to Him. Now, at the end of your handout are the two questions we started with. Let's fill it in. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Would that be a yes or a no? Yes. Then the logical question is, what? Are you praying? Are you praying? This prayer of Nehemiah is a great prayer. But should I recite this prayer, yes or no? Is there any prayer in the Bible that I'm ever told to recite? Now, some of you may have been raised in religions where you recite what's called the Lord's Prayer, like kingdom come, thy will be done, all that. Never are you told to recite that prayer. There is no prayer in the Bible you're supposed to recite. The prayer of Jabez, that was all a bunch of baloney. You're never told to recite the prayer of Jabez. There are hundreds of prayers in the Bible. Hundreds! There's prayers of Abraham, prayers that Moses prayed, prayers that Jesus prayed, prayers that Paul prayed. There's all kinds of prayers in the Bible that are recorded, but God doesn't want you to recite any of them like a magic wand. You know what? God just wants you to pray your prayer from your heart to Him. And I don't want us to leave this building having just learned these truths. I want you to leave this building with this thing of praying earnestly, honestly, intelligently. And then we said finally, you pray about every detail of your life. Specifically. I want you to to leave this building, and may this message just cause you to pray more. You know, if we come to church and we hear this message on prayer and we leave here and we think, yeah, man, I understood every word of that. Man, that was great. But we don't pray any more this week than we did last week. Really, we wasted our time. You know what I mean? I mean, we ought to leave here and say, boy, man, I can pray anywhere, at any time, in any place, and man, I'm going to pray this week. I'm going to develop a deeper, more consistent, persisting prayer life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your blessings now upon your word, and I pray you'll use your word to speak and minister to our hearts. I love you so much, and thank you for the privilege we have to be here. And thank you, God, for your word today and teaching us about prayer. I love you, and I just pray your word will speak to hearts. And I pray that if there's anybody here today that's not saved, they'll realize that Jesus Christ has made a full and complete payment for their sin. And Lord, may they realize that the way to heaven is not through crossroads. The way to heaven is not through religious rituals. It's not through religion. May they realize that Jesus is the way to heaven, that He made a full and complete payment for their sin. If they will simply just trust Him and believe on Him, believe what Your Word has said about what Christ has done, Lord, that You will save them right now and forgive them of all their sins. And Lord, may this message on prayer exhort us and motivate us to pray this week like we've never prayed before. May we be praying about Walk Through Bethlehem. May we be praying for our church, praying for our leaders, praying for our husband, praying for our children, praying for those at work, praying for our lost neighbors. May we just be prayer warriors. And Lord, may we just be praying always. Just always in an attitude of prayer. Always conscious of our need of You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.